Balancing the needs of multiple children in our homeschools can be super challenging, and that's why I'm excited about today's guest podcast episode with Carrie Beck. She's going to share three tips for homeschooling multiple kids. I'm actually going to be joining Carrie and 45 plus other homeschool experts for the Homeschool Superheroes Week. It is a free online event, and I want to make sure you check the link in the show notes to get your free ticket. Also, please send me an email, amy@humilityanddoxology.com, with your questions, because I am going to be recording an Ask Me Anything episode, just like I kicked off season 5. It was super fun. My teen daughter was my co-host, and we just had a great time. So if you have homeschool questions or life questions or book questions or really ask me anything, you can send me a DM. I'm @humilityanddoxology over on Instagram, or you can send me an email. Again, I'll have that link in the show notes. And I'm so excited to get to answer your questions. What if I told you that there was a way to incorporate freedom into your homeschool planning? A way to blend flexibility and a well-ordered day. Homeschool planning doesn't have to be scary. I have created a free homeschool planning guide to help you ask the right big picture questions to set your long-term homeschool goals, and it will also give you 7 simple steps to craft a peaceful, orderly homeschool plan. If you want access to this free ebook, just head to humilityanddoxology.com/homeschool-planning-guide, or just click the link in the show notes.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Carrie Beck with How to Homeschool My Child and Homeschool Superheroes, and I'm excited to be on Amy's podcast today. I'm going to be talking to you about homeschooling multiple kids, and I've got some tips and ideas. Let me introduce myself a little bit, because some of you may not know who I am, and you'll discover that I have 3 children that are all grown. We did homeschool for 10 years, so I know the ins and outs of what it's like to actually homeschool multiple kids. My kids are all grown. We did homeschool. First, we put them in a private school, Christian school. Then we homeschooled for 10 years. And my youngest, my son, finished out his last 3 years at a private classical Christian school as well. I did a lot of different ways of homeschooling. In the end, I landed on something that I call Christian leadership education, and I believe it pulls the best parts of all different types of homeschooling all together. And so I'm going to share some of those ideas that we actually teach in our leadership course, and I want to give you 3 tips on homeschooling multiple ages. So let's just dive right into this. The first tip, tip number 1, is to read together. Read together, meaning we read aloud together. We started our day reading aloud together. We didn't do that the first year, because guess what happened the first year? I knew I wanted to read aloud to my kids. I knew I wanted to have real books and not just textbooks. So after lunch each day, I would start to read a book, and then I'd fall asleep, and I'd have to hand it off to my girls, one of my girls, to read. And I thought to myself, what am I modeling for my children? That reading is so boring that I fall asleep when I'm reading to my children. So at the end of that year and during the summer, I thought, we're going to do something different. So we completely changed our schedule, and read aloud began our day. Well, I shouldn't say that completely. I'm a person of faith. So at the beginning, I actually, we would have morning devotions with our children. So we did start our day with Bible. So that was all during breakfast time. But then once they got ready for the day and we all sort of got together ready for our homeschool day, first thing we did was to read aloud together. And so I think it's really important that you think about what is most important to you. Whatever, I believe, whatever you do first, you know you're going to get it done. And so that ends up being what's most important to you. Now, I was challenged by another friend of mine, and she was saying that she saves her most important or her favorite thing to do till the afternoon and gets the things she doesn't like to do in the beginning. But what I found was when I waited until the afternoon for things that I thought were important, sometimes they got done and sometimes they didn't get done. And I'm a pretty organized person, and I'm a checklist person. So I I'm organized enough to be able to get it done. I just figured I needed to change my schedule. And so we did. We started off our day reading aloud, and everyone listened, no matter what their ages were. They did not sit on the couch like perfect little angels during read aloud time. Sometimes they folded laundry at least twice a week. Sometimes they played with their Legos. Sometimes they drew in a reading journal. My son, and I didn't even introduce who my three kids are. Ashley is our oldest. She is married to Jesse, and they have two young girls, Faith and Elizabeth. Gentry is our middle daughter. She's married to Andrew, and they have Landry, and then our only grandson is Deacon. And then Hunter is the baby of the family, but he's 29. He's not married right now, and so... I was going to continue the story about not being a perfect little angel with the fact that sometimes when Hunter was listening, reading was not his thing, even reading aloud. So he would sometimes have a ball and a glove, and he would toss the ball up and down while we were reading. Now, I did have to alternate the topics of the books because not all my kids liked every topic. Ginger would listen to anything. Ashley loved historical type books. Hunter liked water books and King Arthur and Robin Hood. That was about it. That was seriously it. So the first thing that I think to simplify your homeschool, and when you're homeschooling multiple kids, is start finding things you can do all together. So I've already mentioned one. We had our Bible time together, and then we read together. So that's really number one. I could say that's Bible and reading aloud. Reading aloud does a lot for you. It increases thinking skills. It increases concentration skills, narration. You write down later what a child, they write down what they remember or what the story is about. And then as older kids, they could actually write about it. What's their opinion? Get into higher level thinking skills as well. And you can run a discussion about it. There's a lot of things you can do with your read aloud to develop what a lot of people would call academics. It's not a fluff thing, I will tell you that. I could spend the whole time talking about read aloud. I do have a book list of our family's favorite read alouds. Each of my children made a list, and we compiled that into an ebook along with some tips on reading aloud. And I have given those to Amy to put in the show notes as well. So tip number two is what I call family time. Some people call it morning basket time, but that read aloud time expanded into an hour. Half the time we spent reading aloud, the other half of the time we did other activities, whatever was going on at the time that I felt like we needed to do. And it was a chance that we could do it all together. It really varied from year to year, from season to season, week to week. I will tell you, I'll just name a few of the things that this included, especially when the kids were young. Up until about junior high, they read poems out loud. And so that gave them practice reading in front of people. But I also wanted them to enjoy poetry. I did not like poetry at all when I was growing up. It was hard for me to figure out. And I wanted them to think poetry is fun. And so we actually would practice that. And they would read the silly poems, but I would get some serious ones, maybe from Harp and the Laurel Wreath, maybe from IEW's Linguistic Development. I love IEW's poetry book because that is a really important skill for them to read it out loud, but then also to memorize it, because memorization really works those critical thinking skills. So poetry can be a lot of things. So you can use it for poetry reading or poetry memorization. Sometimes we would do art appreciation or music appreciation. We didn't do that every day, but maybe once or twice a week. If we were studying the Middle Ages, we might open up the book on, I loved, what is it called? Art for Children. It's out of print series. And so I have some of those books like Michelangelo, Rembrandt, and you just open it up and read what's on one page and look at the art and talk about it. Super simple, no prep. There is a whole series, and I think it's a children's art series as well, that you could just open the book and there is a paragraph and some questions about that art piece. So art is real easy to do with art appreciation. As far as music appreciation, we listen to Classical Kids, and I think those are still in print. It's a series called Classical Kids. And I just wanted my kids to be exposed to it. And I'll tell you how I knew that they were really getting it. The Classical Kids series talks, it tells a story about the composer. It's true to his life, but the kids in the story are fictional. And so we would listen to him. And one time I just popped in, it was old, yes, a cassette tape. Some of you don't know what a cassette tape is, but I popped it into the car and it was just a pure classical, no story, no nothing. It was just classical music. Vivaldi came on and my kids went, "That's Vivaldi." See, they had listened to the music. I didn't say memorize what Vivaldi is all about. They had just heard it so often during this time. If we were doing a Bible study together and they were doing some, this would be if they were a little bit older and they were working on their own during, you know, their individual time. This may be once a week. We might talk about whatever that lesson was in the Bible study. We would, my church at the time didn't sing hymns. And so many times, most of the time, we would sing a hymn during that time. We didn't sing a different hymn every day. I would sing the same hymn until my kids really knew that hymn. I could also use that for copy work or dictation. We could talk about what those hymns meant. And this was also a time for us to talk about our historical time period. Sometimes I was using a curriculum called Truth Quest History, and that was the time I would read parts of the commentary, and we would talk about that as well. Again, not necessarily doing every single one of those every single day and every single year. Those are just a few of the things that we included in our family time. So tip number one is Bible and reading aloud together. Tip number two is family time. And then the last tip is tip number three. And this is where I think we even group together our learning experiences. And, oh, I forgot to tell you, I do have a post on poetry as fun, and I will give that to Amy as well. Tip number three is grouping together. And the best way I know to group our kids together is unit studies. Now, you may be like me. I could do unit studies every week all year long, but I could do them once a month. Or I could take we could do historical. We were always doing history, and we could do different activities based on our historical time period or our scientific topic, whatever that was. And so we did some, I would call them mini units, a lot, all the time. And so why is unit study so good? Because all the kids can be reading. Let's take the Middle Ages again, like I was saying earlier. Let's take the Middle Ages. I can be reading aloud the Robin Hood story, or I can be reading aloud, if we move into Renaissance, like Galileo, I can be reading that aloud, and then our kids can all be reading a book at their level. My girls, Ashley may have been in high school, and she could be reading Dante's Divine Comedy, and younger kids could be reading The Door in the Wall. And so there's a lot of different books during that time period, and I could pick and choose and talk to the kids about which ones they wanted to use. So reading was all taken care of. What about writing? They could all write one paragraph about the Middle Ages. I would just have different expectations on what they knew. And maybe if Ashley were in high school, she had to write a 5-paragraph paper. Hunter was in elementary. He only wrote a 1-paragraph paper. Or you could all be creative and create a Middle Ages newsletter, and they all work together on that project. Maybe in science, they could study how the printing press works, find some YouTube videos on how it works as well. Another thing during the science time period could be, and this would be some crafts, making soap or candles with the string or stained glass, making a trebuchet, looking at the astronomy and the differences. They used to think the world revolved around the Earth. Discovered it revolved around the sun. And so it takes a lot of guts to make a change like that and to stand up against that. So we're also looking at character. In music, again, we could go back to listening to classical kids. Copy work, they could copy sections of the book that child is reading. And for fun, they could play some games that actually came from the Middle Ages. And then my favorite thing is food. Cook some meals. We actually had a Reformation Day at our house each year in October, and I always cooked something that I believed they could cook over a fire. One of my favorite things is my husband was a deer hunter, so we would have venison deer sausage whole family loved it. Actually, everyone we served it to loved it. And I would take that sausage and cook it in a skillet. You could cook that over a fire. And then I would chop up some vegetables like potatoes and carrots and whatever herbs we might have, mix it all together. I did cook it in the oven, or I could cook it on the gas stove. And that was my contribution. And it was something that truly came from the Middle Ages as well. You see, during that, all my kids are learning together. And I don't have to have 10 different lesson plans, because if you have three kids times five or six subjects, that's really about 15 or 20 subject areas. That's why I think it's important to group together. So maybe you can't group everything together, but here are a few tips on it. Maybe if your kids are all within 3 or 4 years together, they can actually be reading the same book and you could be reading it independently as well. They can all be studying the same historical time period. I believe science up until high school science, everyone can be doing the same topic. You don't need to separate it. Now, they may be doing it at different levels, but you know, they can all be learning, and you could do nature studies during that as well. And that's everyone actually working together as well. So that's how I would end up grouping them together. And I was always looking for ways to group them together. The only things we would really separate on, because they would all advance at different levels, maybe was math. And so that would be something that you might want to do as well, that was separate. Maybe some of their writing assignments, same topic, same assignment, different expectations. In other words, a different checklist for each child. So those are just a few things, that ways that I would encourage you to homeschool multiple kids. I do have a free dolphin unit study that I will give Amy as well. So there's three freebies for you. Let's talk about it. First, tip one, Bible and read aloud together. I'm gonna give you a book list. Tip number two, family time together. Poetry is fun blog post, and it's got some ideas for you to use. And then tip number three, group together by using unit studies. I'm going to give you a free dolphin unit study as well that you can start with your kids. And it's got some printables that your kids can work with as well. Then I'm going to give you one last free ticket. Amy, the way I connected with Amy is she is one of my homeschool superheroes. And as a homeschool superhero, she gets to invite her friends to come for free. So I'm giving a free basic pass to anyone with Amy. And you can come. It's the last week of August, August 22nd through the 28th. And if you want to go register for free, if registration is not open, you'll be put on the wait list. And so that's pretty cool as well. But you can go to homeschool superheroes.com/Amy, and you can get a free ticket. And so every 24 hours, we will rotate the free sessions. You can upgrade to the VIP session. We have over 45 speakers, 70 or so sessions. It's going to be awesome. Our keynote speaker is Andrew Putawa from IEW, talking about conquering corrupt culture, raising competent Christian communicators, which will be awesome, I think. So it's a great event. We usually have, you have a private Facebook group. The VIP group will have a private podcast. So if you don't want to watch on video, you can actually just flip the podcast on if you upgrade to the VIP as well. So there's some really cool things, but the biggest thing is I want to invite you for free. I think Amy would like to invite you for free as well. And so just go to homeschoolsuperheroes.com/Amy. The reason I did this back in 2010 was to encourage moms that were not confident to get started in their year. Maybe you're new, or maybe you're starting a new season in homeschooling. We, all of us, all of the speakers want to encourage you and help you know that you are doing enough and you will become confident, because we'll give you homeschool encouragement, but we have sessions on subject areas, math, reading, writing, science, history, you name it. We have a whole faith-based parenting section. We have a special needs. We have a Charlotte Mason track. We have a how-to homeschool track. All sorts of things. We will also have superheroes of the faith, and we will have a prayer room for the very first time that Jan Burt will be running. So it's going to be exciting and Who, you got to come. It's free. That doesn't mean it's worth free. It is actually worth, I don't even know how much it's worth because I haven't calculated all that. But I really encourage you to come join me there. I would love to get to know you. And I know our speakers just can't wait to build relationships, get to know you, find out where you're feeling down, and just to encourage you. We want you to stop that overwhelm and move forward. So you can go to homeschoolsuperheroes.com/Amy. and get your free ticket. Amy, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I am Carrie Beck with Homeschool Superheroes and How to Homeschool My Child. Y'all have a great day.
Thanks so much for listening to the Homeschool Conversations audio blog series. I'm so thankful for each of the guests who are sharing their ideas with us this summer. Check the show notes to find more resources from today's guest. And would you please take a moment to leave a rating and review for this podcast in your app? It really helps other homeschool parents find the show. Would you like a copy of my free homeschool planning guide? Head to humilityanddoxology.com/homeschool-planning-guide or check the link in the show notes for this episode. I'm busy recording more scintillating interviews for season 6 of the podcast. But in the meantime, there are so many fabulous episodes you can catch up on this summer. Check today's show notes to see this week's podcast replay suggestion.